deity, and it's said that he was an incarnation of Lord Brahma. Sometimes he's called Brahma Haridas. Brahma was a great personality. But as we know, he became proud of his position and he tried to trick Krishna. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Nobody can trick Krishna. But Lord Brahma was under the illusion that he was gonna fool Krishna. Nobody can fool Krishna. So Haridas Thakur, he was made to look foolish, and then afterwards he was feeling very repentant. And then he prayed to take birth in a very low birth. So he took birth in Chaitanya Leela as Haridas Thakur, born in a Muslim family. Of course, we know that all living entities are constitutionally full of knowledge, full of happiness and bliss, but according to their karma, they get born into certain situations and families and different religions. But anybody from any background can actually become a devotee of Krishna. For instance, in our modern day Hare Krishna movement, we have several people that are born in Muslim families who are attracted to Krishna consciousness. For instance, in Turkey, I've been to Turkey, there's one boy born in a Muslim family, but he has very successfully attracted many other people. Mostly people in Turkey are Muslims, attracted many other people to take up Krishna consciousness very seriously. So generally it's considered the Muslim birth is not a high birth, because if you read the difference between the Vedas and the Quran, there's a huge amount of difference. The Quran is very, very simple, promises earthly, heavenly pleasures. If you do giving charity, you'll go to the heavenly planets. You'll be surrounded by beautiful girls that will serve you. And many harsh punishments. So, but Lord Chaitanya converted Muslims himself. The Pathan Muslims became devotees. The Qazi was half converted. He realized that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Lord Chaitanya went to, he instigated the civil disobedience movement because the Qazi had forbidden the use of the drum and the kirtan. So Lord Chaitanya arranged this huge procession to protest the action of the Qazi. Because in Bengal at that time, it was ruled by the Muslims, as with India. We have one nice young student here from Jaipur, and his name is Sobuddha. Sobuddha means very intelligent. So, because Jaipur was never conquered by the Muslims. Man Singh is famous because he defeated the Muslims. If you go to Jaipur, you can go to the beautiful quarters or the palace of the king. They have beautiful wallpaper there, designed by one British famous designer. I can't remember his name, but he's famous as an Art Nouveau, something like that. Beautiful wallpaper. But there you can see the armor of the king. Anyway, the Muslims never conquered Jaipur, but in Bengal. So Lord Chaitanya, he organized this huge procession. And when they were all chanting Hare Krishna, and they were so instigated and angry that the Qazi had forbidden the chanting of Hare Krishna, Lord Chaitanya incited them to such a pitch that when they approached the Qazi's palace, then somehow or other the soldiers of the Muslim, the Qazi, they became afraid. Their weapons, they started to hit themselves on their arms, their beards went up in flames. And then Lord Chaitanya went to see the Kazi. The Kazi was hiding in a cupboard. And he said, "Don't worry, it's okay, I'm not going to harm you. But what kind of religion is it that allows you to kill your mother and your father because you're eating the flesh of a cow?" Of course, now in India, I was reading how many states now have banned the killing of cows. And one big minister, he purposely started eating beef again. He'd been a vegetarian for 30 years. So he started eating beef again just to show that, you know, we're living in a democratic society. People should be allowed to do what they want. So, of course, you know, this is completely bogus because basically cows should be protected by the government. So they're trying to do this. But some states in India, they have a majority of Christian and Muslim people, so it's quite difficult. But in some states, you know, they do have, you know, cow protection going on in India. So India is a special place. But as we know, India was conquered by the Muslims and they had a big influence there. But here we're anyway, so he, what kind of religion that allows you to kill your mother and your father? So anyway, Lord Chaitanya was so effulgent, so beautiful, being the Yuga avatar, that when the Kazi saw his effulgence, he realized that he was actually Krishna, he was actually God. Anyway, so Haridas Thakur, he was born in a Muslim family, and it said that he was also, in another book, the Prem Balas, it's described how Haridas Thakur was an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad apparently had committed an offense because he was worshipping his deities very devoutly. And some Vaishnav came to see him and he ignored them. So they cursed him to take birth, a low birth. But actually in Puri it's described in many places, there's an excerpt in the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, which describes how the residents of Puri, even the donkeys there, are considered to be divine personalities with four arms, believe it or not. It's hard to believe because, you know, nowadays the pujaris, they won't even let great devotees go into the temple to see the deity. This is all the whole caste system. You know, you're an untouchable if you're not born in a Brahmin family. So this is what Lord Chaitanya came to destroy, the caste system. And all the followers of Lord Chaitanya, all his prominent followers, have completely they have shown that the caste system, that, you know, you're Brahmin by birth, this is completely against the injunctions of the scriptures. But anyway, so there's a story. When I went to Puri one time, Bhaktitirtha Maharaj was there. Bhaktitirtha Maharaj was born in a black family. I mean, in African American. So he was there, for those of you that don't know, some of our guests here, you don't know. But he was a great devotee of Srila Prabhupada, of ISKCON, of Lord Krishna. And he risked his life, basically, to go to, you know, countries that were in the Iron Curtain and under Soviet rule back in the era of the Soviet Union. So he went to these Iron Curtain countries to sell Krishna conscious books, and he stood out like a sore thumb. you know, they don't have hardly any black people in these countries. And so he went there, and he was going around selling books on religion. It was very risky. So he was a great devotee, but he went to Puri, and he wanted to go see the deity, Lord Jagannath. Of course, being born in a Western family, not being born in a Brahmin family, that would have been unacceptable to the pujaris. But he had a shaved head, and therefore, because he was dark, he was able to get into the temple. And so when he went in, miraculously, one of the pujaris took him right up to Lord Jagannath and gave him special privilege of getting very close darshan of the Lord. Pretty amazing. On the same trip, all his baggage was lost by the airline. And he was completely nonchalant. He didn't care. Pretty amazing. If it was my baggage, I'd be pretty upset. But he was very undisturbed. Anyway, so Haridas Thakur was a great devotee, and he could do things that nobody can imitate. Srila Prabhupada had a couple of disciples who wanted to go off and just chant all the time, chant Hare Krishna. And so one of them came to Mayapur, and one was African, as a matter of fact, as far as I remember. And Prabhupada said, no, it's not such a good idea, you know, it's best to engage in preaching and be with the devotees. But he had this idea, he wanted to nirjan bhajan. So he went off somewhere in Mayapur, and he lasted about 3 days. And then he just disappeared. Nobody ever saw him again. So we cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. There's the story of one person that tried to imitate Haridas Thakur. This is in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. When Haridas Thakur one time, he saw a snake charmer. And the snake charmer was singing a song about the Kaliya snake and how, you know, Krishna had performed this wonderful pastime of dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. And so when he heard that, Haridas Thakur, he was playing a flute, the snake charmer, and when Haridas Thakur heard the flute music and the recitation, he became completely ecstatic, and he started dancing to the melody of the flute player, and he lost his equilibrium. He became so ecstatic that his dance became like a trance, and he started falling on the ground, and just amazing display. And there were people around there, and they just loved the dancing, and they could see that Haridas Thakur, he was such a great devotee. He was so affected by hearing some of Krishna's pastimes. And so there was another person that saw this display of pure love for Krishna. There was a cheat. And he started to imitate Haridas Thakur, and he started dancing. He started trying to pretend that he was on the same level as Haridas Thakur. And so he was dancing in the snake charm, and he got a stick and he started beating him. Because he could see that he's just an imposter. He wasn't the real thing. He was just trying to get the respect that Haridas Thakur got. So we cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. So therefore, Prabhupada, he actually emphasized preaching. There's a verse in the, the reference isn't correct. This is the Gaudiya Kanta, huh? There's a book of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's favorite verses. So this is a very nice verse. It says, Pashi, Pakshi, Kita, Adi, Balita, and Ampari. I won't read all the verse. The animals, birds, and insects cannot chant the holy name, but by hearing the holy name chanted, they can benefit. Chanting the japa of the holy names of Krishna purifies oneself, but the loud sankirtan of the holy name of Krishna benefits all living beings. Therefore, loudly chant the holy name of Krishna in kirtan, and you will get 100 times the benefit of chanting japa. This is the verdict of all the shastras. It says in the Chaitanya Bhagavad Adi Kanda, chapter 11, but it's not there. So I guess it's Kundali or something. Anyway, so so this is the reason why the Sankirtan, or going out in public and chanting, is more important. But actually, Prabhupada said that of all the instructions of the Guru, chanting 16 rounds a day is the most important instruction. But Haridas Thakur, he would chant 192 rounds a day, and would also go out preaching. So it's amazing, because if you chant 5 minute rounds, 16 rounds times 5, you work it all out. Comes to about 16 hours or something. And then he had to, you know, bathe, eat, because he was eating. And then he was going out preaching as well. So, you know, he was really utilizing his time in a Krishna conscious way. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, he emphasized specifically book distribution. In the purport we hear that, you know, we have to abide by the order of the Guru. The Guru gives different instructions for different devotees, like Lord Chaitanya gave instructions to different people. So Srila Prabhupada gave different instructions to different people. But the one overriding instruction that he gave was that the book distribution is the Brihat Madanga. Like it says, going out in Sankirtan, chanting in public, that is 100 times more beneficial than chanting japa. So what to speak of distributing books? That Prabhupada said, or Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said that the book distribution is the Brihat Madanga. It's the big Madanga, which is more important than the Harinam Sankirtan. So, of course, we are all-rounders. We try to fulfill all the different aspects of Srila Prabhupada's instructions. He wanted temples, he wanted deities, he wanted book distribution, he wanted Harinam Sankirtan, so many different things. So we try to do all of those different things. But he did emphasize book distribution more than anything else. And it is a fact that this movement has really spread more on the strength of book distribution than anything else. But book distribution is, not many people appreciate the books. We're living in the Kali Yuga, so people are very materialistic. Their minds are too disturbed. Most people can't actually follow the books. Their minds are too disturbed. So therefore, we go out in Harinam as well. And when we go out in Harinam, it's a wonderful thing, because everybody practically is attracted to the Harinam. Especially the Muslims. They love it. You know, I've mentioned this before, but if you go to big cities and do Harinam, you'll find that at least in my experience, the Muslims, they have more attraction for the chanting than anybody else. They're living in a very repressed society. Muslims are very repressed. If you think about it, the women have to put those heavy things on their heads. I mean, it's cruel to me that they, you know, in the intense heat, wearing this black, heavy thing on their head. And you know, if you're a thief, you oh, there one person. Anyway, they're very strict. They stone people. Of course, in the Manu Samhita, all these different punishments are there. You know, if you're a thief, they chop your hand off. So many different things. Severe punishments. So I guess the Muslims are basing their laws on the Manu Samhita, because they still have those laws. But, you know, when we go on Harinam, because the Harinam is such a joyful thing, that the Muslims, they're very attracted. But of course, you can't do Harinam in Riyadh or Abu Dhabi or some of these places. You know, you can't do it. You'll run into a lot of problems. But in some Muslim countries, there is preaching going on. And, you know, Bhakti Govinda Maharaj, he is learning Arabic. Right now he's in Beirut, Lebanon, Muslim country, Muslim Christian country. The Muslims are heavy. You know what they're doing to the Christians in Egypt, the Coptic Christians. I met a Coptic Christian yesterday from Egypt. They do believe in the sun god. You know, anyway, so the book distribution is important because the intelligentsia will be convinced. But the general populace, they're not as philosophical, they're not as deep. So for them, the Harinam is perfect. Prasadam distribution. So Haridas Thakur, he was told to chant, we've been told to distribute books, preach, go on Harinam, distribute prasadam. So Srila Prabhupada gave different instructions to different people. But in the when we chant japa, one reason why I think Prabhupada gave us so many different services, because it's very difficult for us to just sit down and chant japa. It's very difficult. I mean, for me anyway, you know, it's not so easy to absorb the mind while we chant. The mind is very hard to control. But there is the possibility of being able to control the mind. Of course, we're just supposed to chant and hear the mantra. That's the basic instruction. Now you don't have to think of anything, but it's very hard to think of nothing because the mind is always thinking of something. So therefore it's stated that one should chant loudly, because even if your mind is all over the place, you will still get some benefit. In fact, I wanted to read another verse in this book. The holy name of Krishna is the sweetest of the sweet and the most auspicious of all auspicious things. It is the self-effulgent and beautiful fruit of the Vedic desire tree. We don't realize, at least I don't, the potency of the holy name, the importance of chanting. Because to us, we're not falling down in ecstasy when we chant. But the effect is there. It says, O best of the Bhrigus, when the holy name is uttered once without offense, either attentively or inattentively, it immediately ensures the deliverance of all human beings from the bondage of illusion. That's from the Skanda Purana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ratanti Halaya Vapi Te Kritata Na Samshaya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Whoever chants this mantra, even neglectfully, will attain the supreme goal of life. Of this there is no doubt. Agni Purana. But if we don't chant, then we won't get any benefit. But at least if we chant, even if it's inattentively, because we are giving that time to try to chant, even if we can't chant attentively, we get so much benefit. But if we can chant attentively, we get so much more benefit. So, chanting attentively is easier done when we can think of Krishna. Of course, Lord Srila Prabhupada said that when we chant, we should think of Lord Chaitanya. We should think of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So we have to know about Lord Chaitanya. And then if we can read about Krishna's pastimes, like I was reading the Brihad Bhagavatam, this amazing book by Sanatan Goswami. So it describes when Krishna, when Kaliya came back to the river Jamuna, the Kaliya snake. So the Kaliya snake was very venomous. And so the snake came back, and Krishna ran off to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan because the poisonous vapors of the snake were poisoning the atmosphere and the trees and the birds and everything else, the fish. So he came back to save the residents of Vrindavan. So he immediately jumped onto the hoods of the Kaliya. And he pretended that he'd been captured by Kaliya. And everyone in Vrindavan was so afraid, they were dying. Even Lord Balaram, he didn't really understand that Krishna was playing a game. That he became so, Lord Balaram, he was so upset that he stopped the gopis. They wanted to rush into the water to try and help Krishna, but Balaram stopped them. And then they were all dying, they were all about to die. And then Krishna suddenly released himself from the coils of Kaliya. And he started dancing on the hoods. And the hoods of Kaliya had beautiful gems on them. And then Krishna, he stretched his arms out, because Krishna is not bound by the laws of nature. So he was on the Kaliya serpent in the middle of the Jamuna, and he stretched his arms to grab the gopis. And he brought the gopis onto the hoods of Kaliya. And then with the gopis, he performed a dance on the hoods of Kaliya. And the hoods of Kaliya were like stages. There were many stages. You know, like you have a stage, people dance on a stage. And these stages were illuminated by the beautiful gems on the hood of Kaliya. So these are beautiful images that, you know, we can think of these different things while we chant japa, or how Krishna was so kind. He became the chariot driver of Arjuna. So many things we can think about. But at least if we chant, even if we can't think of all these different pastimes, still if we chant, we still get so much benefit. So, but if we can preach as well, we get more benefit. So, we all have our propensities, and everyone has a way that they can be engaged in Krishna consciousness, washing the pots, or if you're a scholar, you know, presenting beautiful books, but somehow or other find a way to chant 16 rounds a day, or if you studying too much, chant 4 rounds a day, and gradually aspire to chant 16 rounds a day. But understand how we cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. We cannot go off to a secluded place. That will not work. Okay, Hare Krishna. Kaliapani Prabhu has a question. Okay.
I was also present about you in Puri when Maharaj entered the temple. Just to add to the story a little bit.
You got it too close to you. You got it too further away.
or February.
Yeah.
There was a bombshell on the beach, and our group was meeting every morning for a morning program. And Bhakti Jitmaj, he wasn't staying with us, he was Ganeshan Brahmachari at the time. He wasn't staying with us, but he would come to the bombshell every morning and give these amazing erudite nectarian lectures, the Bhagavatam class. And one morning he didn't show up. No one knew where he was. And next morning he came and told us the story, how he got in. And apparently it was the head pujari who took him. He told the head pujari that he'd been born here, but his parents took him to America when he was very young. So the head pujari, in order to educate him, he took him into the inner sanctum where nobody goes, right up the deities. He took Bhakti Chetanaji's head and bowed it down at the head at the feet of Lord Jagannath, saying, "This is what we do. This is how it's done. This is how it's done." And there was another incident in that trip regarding Westerners not being allowed into temples. Also, we went to the Sakshigopala temple, which is nearby. And they wouldn't allow us in, so we were doing this big kirtan. I think it was the late Bajrahari was leading the kirtan. Raging kirtan outside the temple, and we could actually see the deity through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then the deity sent a huge garland out and put it right around the neck of Bajrahari, who was leading the kirtan. And the late Krishnadasani was with us at that time. And he was so incensed by Westerners not being allowed into the temple that he stood up on the wall with all the villagers around, and he started preaching hellfire and brimstone. He was in, I don't know what it was, a listen, I suppose, but he was going, "Ah, ah, 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 International Society for Krishna Consciousness, four regulative principles, 16 rounds every day." On and on like that. All the Brahmins were listening. Krishna Swami Ki.
Yeah. Vishal Prabhu. Vishal has a question.
Hare Krishna. So, my question I wanted to...
Too close.
Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to get this... ultimately solved. You mentioned that different devotees have different engagements, cleaning the pots and the sewing and different things, but I understand or misunderstand that Srila Prabhupada wanted that every one of his disciples, grand disciples and everyone to do some type of book distribution. Would you clarify that? He wanted everyone to do somehow or other distribute a book or so.
I'm sure he would be pleased if everybody distributed books. But some devotees, I mean, I can't give an absolute statement, you know, about whether people who don't distribute books are in Maya or whatever, you know, but I mean, if we can distribute books, that's great. But, you know, a lot of people do a lot of other important service, and, you know, we can't really think that just because they're too busy doing other things that they're in Maya because they're not distributing books. So I think everybody's behind the book distribution, even if they don't go out themselves. Some people just, you know, they just don't have the mentality for it. They don't have the kind of ability to do it. And they can go on the street for 10 hours and not sell a book. And it's just kind of very difficult to do that, you know. I mean, there are some devotees, pujaris, like there was one devotee I mentioned before at the manor. He was a pujari. He never went out in book distribution, but he just dedicated his whole life to serving the deities. And there were some book distributors back in the day who completely disappeared. So, being able to distribute books, sometimes, it requires a little bit of material ability to be able to converse with people and talk to people and approach people. Not everybody can do that. So, if everybody can do books, that's great, but, everybody should also worship the deities.
If it was only 5-10 minutes out of the day, I'm not saying spend the whole day distributing books.
Yeah, but I mean, getting out there to your Sangatan spot may take half an hour, and then you got to get a vehicle to get you out there. It's not that simple.
Yeah.
But during a marathon, generally as many people as possible go out, but you got to have a backup crew. You got to have people to cook prasadam and do all that kind of thing. Keep the temple clean. But if everybody can go out, Prabhupada says we should lock the doors of the temple and everybody go out in Sankirtan. But that was early, a long time ago. Maybe they didn't have theaters or whatever, I don't know. Any of the ladies have any questions? Comments, reflections, corrections?
Hare Krishna, Guru, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
I find it more important for me when I chant my japa, because I can't. If I try to focus on Krishna's pastimes, then my focus on the holy name goes down. So I have to just intently focus on the holy name, and I'm thinking maybe later the pastimes will come into my consciousness when I chant.
Well, everyone's different. We do have to hear the holy name, but if you can think of Krishna while you chant, for some people that may work better. But everyone's an individual. We all have our own psycho makeup. So if you find that better, that's perfect. Hearing the holy name is really the instruction to hear. But, it's also recommended to think of Krishna's pastimes. The Astakaliya Leela, remembering Krishna's different pastimes throughout the different periods of the day. The day is broken into 8 different periods, and each time of the day Krishna is doing something different. The books, we have so many books written by the Goswamis describing Krishna's pastimes and activities, and that, to me, the books are written so that we can fix our minds on Krishna. We become attracted to Krishna. Because even if we chant the holy name without knowing very much about Krishna, it's not as complete as when you know more about Krishna. So the more you know about Krishna, because Krishna is absolute, the more you can, I feel, focus on Krishna and appreciate Krishna. Yes, Janmashtami, Prabhu.
There's an interesting sentence in the purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have personally taken Haridasa Thakur into the Jagannath temple if he wished, but the Lord did not like to disturb a popular custom. Any thoughts on that one?
What's that? Yeah. Can I comment?
Yeah. Made the point how his part of his mission was to dispel caste Brahmanism, caste consciousness. It's first paragraph, right in the middle of it.
Well, I mean, Lord Chaitanya, he may have caused too much of a revolution to do that, I don't know. I mean, maybe he was, you know, there could be a lot of different reasons. Maybe he was just trying to show that, you know, even without going into the temple, Haridas was already so advanced, he didn't really have to go into the temple to be advanced. He could get the same benefit by looking at the chakra on top of the temple. So, you know, maybe externally he didn't want to disturb the social customs of the time, but at the same time he may have had another reason, like to show that Haridas Thakur, he wasn't, you know, he didn't have to go into the temple to be advanced. He was already on the highest level. I don't know. It is kind of contradictory that he would organize a huge Sankirtan party and go towards the Kazi and, you know, protest against the breaking the Madanga, but he wouldn't protest against the, I don't know.
It's just a tactical decision.
Huh?
It's just a tactical decision that he made. How to approach
problem and didn't serve. A tactical decision.
Yeah.
Any other reflections on that? Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Huh? They're not really quite comparable. You gotta,
in appraisal business, you say you have to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges. You can't compare an apple to an orange. They're two different things. Sankirtan was this whole movement. He's inaugurated to, he had invented to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement. And when they broke the drums, that was a challenge to the whole Sankirtan movement. Going inside the temple is a whole different thing.
No, but I mean, it's still a throwback to the caste system. And you know, it's still an imposition, a false imposition, you know, imposed out of ignorance, just like breaking the drum.
Well, breaking the drum stops the Sankirtan movement.
And well, so does stopping, you know, a great devotee going in the temple.
No, it doesn't, because you can still do Sankirtan Harinam anywhere. You don't need the temple for that.
Especially if it continues the concept that, you know, we're still within the confines of the caste system.
Yeah, but the caste system is also subordinate to just doing chanting.
Huh? I mean,
yeah, it's an external thing. I mean, you know, we're against the materialistic interpretation of the caste system because it's based on ahankar and, you know, you're not the body, you know, and so forth. But, I mean, if they chant Hare Krishna freely, eventually they're going to outgrow that. So, you know, just intellectually wrangling with about the caste system is a place for that, but it's really the Harinam that's going to save the day.
Yeah, true. Anything else? All right. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.